Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thescope. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
it's show number two of the cycle. Our friend Thomas is in to talk about his ghost hunting adventures. Plus, coming soon, Hit It or Miss It, and your comments. Stick around.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, Scope fans. Episode 147. That is the show we're doing right now, Jared. 147.
That is correct.
Adam is here. Jared is here. Our special guest is here. He needs no introduction, at least in this segment. So we'll wait. We'll wait till he's actually interviewed. So I'm gonna look at him uncomfortably as he sits here quietly.
I got him potted down.
I love it. So we are here. It's the first interview we've done in a while. Guest in the studio. It's exciting. But before we get to that, I just want to look at Jared and say, I don't even know what I want to say.
It's been, 36 hours since we've seen each other, Shane.
I know. We see a lot of
thrilling Vikings defeat in the preseason.
Yeah, we're a little out of order, Adam, but
you guys are assuming that they're going to lose the third preseason game also?
Yeah. It's very confusing.
That's right. I ruined the whole illusion of time.
Time shifting. Yeah, we've been hanging out, getting into the football vibe.
Hey, Adam, are we going to do a football show where we make our bet, or what are we going to do this year?
Adam has it exactly right.
I think that's it. We should definitely do a football show. We've got so many things coming up though in the future for The Scope. We've got fall previews, we got to look back at the summer, we've got football coming up.
That's a lot to cover.
I don't know how we do it with all these many shows we're doing.
Sounds like you got three shows.
We got three shows.
We might have to do like quad shows and release them like two a week. I don't know. There's a lot to cover.
Oh my gosh. That's the problem with being so prolific.
Yeah.
So I think instead of talking about being prolific, we should just jump into the show. As I said, and as Jared has said, we've got Thomas in the house. He is a ghost hunter, or at least he says he is. We're going to get to the bottom of that. We're going to be doing a little coming soon, which is really our look at the future of pop culture and things that...
We're looking at trendsetters and tastemakers.
Yeah, we're sort of like the Pinterest of...
Nope, that's the girl internet.
We're sort of like the Tumblr.
Adam's vetoed that.
Yeah,
we could be the Tumblr.
We're sort of like the MySpace.
Sure. We are mostly GIFs of girls' butts,
yes,
is what you're saying.
I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, sounds about right.
By the way, in the Kick-Ass movie that we were talking about offline, there was a big fascination with MySpace and not Facebook, even though the movie was made in 2010. What gives, Adam?
Maybe they were making a joke, a really high concept
joke. What
does
the source material say?
It was MySpace in the source material.
I guess they're being honest.
They're staying true to it. Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, there we go. So let's stop talking about MySpace. Let's start talking about ghosts. Right after this.
This is The Fump.
And I said, no, 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 I don't play them no more. Those Facebook games are really a bore. Don't ask again to play me words with friends or help you with your stupid farmland chore.
I'm Nathan. You can call me Predator. And I'm sorry I killed your friends. And I'm sorry I'm blue that
boot and a hoo-hoo, and nothing really better to do than me. With a buddy that takes batteries, I'll have to try and figure how to get inside a bra. It'll likely end up backwards, and I'll rub my nay-nays wrong. So throw it in the trash and flaunt them in their big debut. I've got boot.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. thefump.com. Funny.
And we're back! Episode 147. The spookiest episode we've ever done. I'm very excited to introduce our next guest. He's been on the show before, and I'm looking at him, and this guy's a total package. I'm going to tell you why, wow. Jared. He fights fires.
He does.
He writes children's books.
He's like a barehanded pugilist with those fires.
He does. This guy is so tough, he doesn't even put on the equipment. He just runs right in, pulls out the people from safety.
Dogs
and cats.
Dogs and cats. Saves all animals, fishes. You know, it's very much Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure.
Right. Every night.
This guy, he writes children's books, Jared.
Does he?
He does. He's a big children's book author. I've never seen them. I've seen him talk about them. I think my wife has said she might order some, but I don't know if she has. I'm hoping she does. This guy is part of the rock band Mega Band.
Our rock band.
He plays rock band with us, Jared. Yep. He's one of the go-getters. He's in there. He sings. He guitars. He does not drum. He does not keyboard.
Nobody keyboards anymore.
He puts it out there.
I bought a keyboard, never use it.
Yeah.
Just never.
Get right up on that mic.
Sorry about that.
He's got chiseled.
We want to hear your dulcet tones.
Okay. He's got chiseled good looks. He's got a beautiful salt and pepper head of hair.
Shane, I have a question for you.
Yes.
When are you two going on a B&B vacation together?
That's going to be my last question. Some sort of love connection type thing. We'll be back in 2 and 2. We've got Thomas in the house.
Hello.
He was here on a show. He's never met Adam before. They had a nice, genial introduction.
Yep.
They were very nice to each other.
Right.
True.
Do you remember what show you were on here for?
I was on the trivia contest. What was it? The
World Series of Pop Culture?
There you go.
Did you ever come on for just a regular show?
I did, and Earl and I got into it.
Yeah. That doesn't sound Were you part of one of the annual New Year's Eve shows a while back?
No. You know what?
If you were on the pop culture shows, you definitely met Adam, because Adam was here. He was my co-host on those. But he's easily forgettable.
Yeah. I sat behind the desk.
There was a lot of people.
You know, there was a curtain on that desk, I remember.
I couldn't see our legs. It was crowded down here.
Yeah, there were four teams of three, plus us, plus Tony.
And fans and people watching.
There was a lot.
I think that might have been the best the scope has ever been and the best it ever will be. So,
we keep
saying we'll bring it back.
Yeah, I keep waiting for that.
No pressure.
Waiting for that call.
Yeah.
But the other thing about this Thomas character is that he is a certified ghost hunter.
Certified.
Right. Certified. You got some sort of certificate in the mail, and now you're allowed to go out there.
Yes.
No, it's you know, we follow you on Facebook, everyone around here. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, nice. I just got chills.
And from time to time, you will mention, hey, I'm going to go out about maybe go on some sort of ghost expedition.
Sure.
And so I wanted to get to the bottom of that because you've been very active lately, much like the paranormal activity. A lot of stuff going on in the world now. I don't know what that is. But I want to figure out where this started, how you got interested, and then how you sort of became an official member of what association are you with?
Yeah, Twin Cities Paranormal Society.
And that would be the Twin Cities of Minneapolis?
Yes.
And St. Paul.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So let's start from the beginning. Have you always been interested in the idea of ghosts? Was there something that triggered that, or is it just you liked horror movies and it spawned something bigger?
It's kind of all of the above. I mean, I've always been interested in horror movies and ghosts and crap like that. This is awesome. you know, even like when I was younger, I wrote a really horrible screenplay about a ghost, a little girl ghost that was haunting this house and stuff. And so earlier this year, I wrote a middle grade ghost story that I was trying to shop around. And, you know, just for fun. And I don't really watch a lot of the shows, which I know seems kind of weird because you're like, you know, you think I watch every single show. I don't. But I saw that the Twin Cities Paranormal Society was looking for some people to add to their team, so they were doing like interviews and all this other stuff, and just for kicks I just said, hey, I'm interested, and then applied, and there was like 20 some people that applied, and they took 5 of us. So
would they have taken all 20, or do they have strict numbers, or how does
strict they don't want to have too big of a group because only a handful can go like at an investigation at one time. So
talk us through what the interview process is like, because a lot of people might be skeptical about what they're actually getting at.
Well, I mean, just to back up a little bit, just to kind of tell you about what their program's all about. They're a nonprofit, so if you believe that you have something going on in your house or your apartment or whatever or your location, you can contact them through TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com, and they will go out there and do like an interview and do some research on the property and maybe the previous homeowners and things like that, and then just find out if there's some
a burial ground or a death right. or some sort of traumatic right. event within.
Yeah, and it doesn't always, you know, not to jump ahead, but it doesn't always have to be like a traumatic event. But then what they'll do is they'll send...
timber falling, you know.
Is that what happened? These trees out here. So they have, you know, they'll send about 4 or 5 people out. And they'll sit in their house for 4 or 5 hours
yeah.
with, you know, infrared cameras and EVP recorders and things like that. And, yeah, it's they come back and they report back what they find.
They dribble basketball anything. Slowly.
Which is kind of ironic. So, yeah, if we get to that part, I'll tell you about some. There's actual basketball dribbling.
The Harlem Globetrotters are actually haunting a house in North Minneapolis.
It all ties into Scooby-Doo, doesn't it?
It does.
So let's take this back even further. Okay. Did something happen to you as a child? Did you see something at a young age that maybe piqued your interest or implanted something in your brain that there might be something more than what's on this human plane of existence?
Well, I'm not a very religious guy, mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I had a puppet.
Oh no!
One of those little marionettes, and it was this little. It looked like a little Mexican fellow with a sombrero and a little guitar.
It's a side note. When I went on my honeymoon to Mexico, I bought one of those for Sir Earl Lucas and brought it back to him as a gift.
They're terrifying.
They're very creepy.
They're very creepy. And so, yeah, as a kid, I hated the thing, and I stuck it, you know, hid it somewhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't remember how or if my brother was messing around with me or something, but I remember going down in the basement and this marionette was hanging from the ceiling and kind of spinning, you know, a little bit, and that freaked me out. So I'm not saying that's what drove me to do all this. I mean, kind of selfishly because I was working on this book.
Yeah.
I wanted to get kind of some background on how actual investigations and stuff occurred. And so it's just a culmination. It kind of seemed like a couple of worlds were converging, and I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Let me ask one of these two fools here, Jared or Adam. Have you ever seen anything in your life that you might consider to be spooky or ghostly?
No,
Jared.
Honestly, no. I haven't seen anything that I couldn't logically explain.
But I will say,
sorry, I'm skeptical.
No.
Mandy,
I've seen bats though.
They are spooky. All right. Mandy believes in ghosts. I'm an avid non-believer in ghosts, whatever. And one time we were having an argument about it.
He celebrates his non-belief.
Sure.
Avid. He goes around and just dances around the street.
Ask me what I think about ghosts.
Nope.
Yeah. And she goes, well, I don't have all the facts about ghosts. and so I don't know. I just yelled at her a whole bunch after that. That's our relationship. We just I prove her wrong, and I feel good about it, and it makes me feel good about myself.
Well, I had something when I was younger, and I was probably about 4 years old, and I was in Texas with my cousins because that's where they lived, so I went and spent the summer with them, and it was a suburb of Houston, I think. And at that age, you know, kids, or at that time, you know, late 70s, kids could go run off and do whatever they wanted to do. And
you're a little slappy today, just at the table.
Am I? I'm sorry.
Calm it down a little bit.
Jesus.
Go ahead. Continue your story.
Boom! Slap. I've never been called slappy before, at least not except in the privacy of my own bedroom.
Wow.
Hey-o.
So we were, as a group of kids, we were sort of running through the neighborhood. And in this particular suburb, they had like, I don't even know, it would be like a general area where like the town hall or something would be. It was sort of an older building that you know, nobody really used. Maybe they used it for, gosh, I don't even know. Maybe they used it for like carnivals or just whatever. It was a gathering place that was not used. And as kids, we would play around in there because they had field and maybe some playground equipment. And at some point, we decided we were going to, I don't know if we're going to see if we could get into the building or we were just sort of investigating it. And I have a very vivid memory of going to the door, and it was one. Sorry, I just hit the table again, Jared. If you go to this door, it was like a double door, and you had windows, and you could see all the way to the end of that building, and it was an old, you know, almost like a meeting hall or something, like a school, like a one-room schoolroom. And at the very end of that hallway, at the end of that building, there was a fireplace, and we were looking, and the building was abandoned, but the fire just slowly turned on, and you could just see it raise from all the way across the room.
Hmm.
And needless to say, we all shit our pants and we ran. So here's the thing. We were four, so that may never have happened. But if it did, it was very creepy, and I remember it pretty vividly.
Yeah.
That was a moment, like, weird stuff that happened. Also, when I was four, not too long after that, I came home and we were playing in our neighborhood, and we were all kind of, like, off in the woods, and a monster jumped up behind some from wood, and we ran, but it more than likely was just a kid in a mess.
It might have been.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too, is I am not, like, a full-on believer either.
Yeah.
I'm pretty skeptical, and so I'm, you know, I've... This team that I've met with, you know, I've asked them too. I go, what kind of stuff have you seen? Like when we went through the interview process,
yeah.
And they're telling me what we've seen, you know, the stuff with the orbs, you know, that's that really
you always see that in photographs.
Right. It's dust mites catching the light from a flash or whatever,
yeah.
Just illuminating it. But so I'm a huge skeptic. I feel like I'm Dana Scully. I'm on the team. You know what I mean?
Is that why they wanted you? You have a similar figure, by the way.
I do. Thank you. No, I'm not sure if that's why or not. Who knows
FHM's 1996 pick for sexiest woman of the year.
Very nice. Adam knows all of FHM's sexiest woman of the year.
Yeah. Ask you 97.
That's
I don't know.
Yeah. So for me, and that's one of the other reasons too, I wanted to join was I wanted to have some kind of proof or
sure.
Feel like I've actually seen something, you know, and we can, you know, talk about that. But yeah, I want to see something.
So, and you did stuff before you joined this group, right? I mean, didn't you go on some stuff, and that sort of,
yep.
Maybe that was the genesis of getting more actively involved.
There was it was kind of twofold. I had actually joined right around the time that I found like a Living Social deal to go out to the Stanley Hotel.
It's always Living Social.
It's always. I'm trying to be as social living wise as possible. And so I was like, we got to do this. It's like $100 to stay at this, you know, historic hotel that's supposedly haunted.
Yeah.
And my friend and I decided, let's make it a whole full-on thing. And so we found three different hotels on three different nights that were all supposedly haunted.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the funny thing is the one that we signed up for, the Stanley, we didn't really see a whole heck of a lot.
There's a lot of dark rooms.
There's a couple things that were unexplainable, but at the same time, I'm, you know, with my wearing my skeptic hat, I'm just, and that's what this is, by the way.
Give us one of the unexplainable things.
One of the unexplainable things, the first hotel we stayed at was in Fort Collins. It was the Armstrong Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked, you know, I had to do the dirty work. I had to call these places and say, hey, we heard your hotel might be haunted.
Yeah.
Which room is the most active? We want to stay there. And of course, they had some rooms that were just like super expensive because they were supposedly super active. And we're like, well, let's go medium active.
So these,
you know,
medium active.
We're not looking for full on.
You know, we're not men of means. So
give us your
up,
budget, Ghost.
Right.
Which one has Slimer in it?
Which one? We're looking for the discount spirits. So we ended up in a room that supposedly a bellhop has been seen in.
Okay.
A guy wearing a gold
jacket. And now this is a dead one or an alive bellhop?
He's dead.
Okay.
He's
so
been long dead.
Just wasn't a very good employee
that
might from time to time show up and carry your bags.
So we, when we were staying there, so there were three things that happened there. And I would say that the first place is actually in my head the most active. I mean, there's a few things that could be explained, but there was one thing that I just can't really wrap my head around.
Okay. This is exciting.
Okay. So we, you know, we didn't have it. We called it amateur hour because we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, you're just stomping around.
Right. We had a couple apps on our phones. We were trying to record EVPs. I set up my iPad as a camera in the corner, just, you know, not infrared or anything. We had the lights on. You know, we're drinking soft drinks and, you know, just trying to do an EVP session. So I had my iPad set up on a countertop, you know, and propped up pretty well so that it was shooting towards us. So if there's anything floating around our heads, we would see it. And, you know, we're sitting there, you know, we don't know what to ask. Hey, we're nice guys. Hey, you know, if you're there.
Did you feel sort of dopey just talking out loud?
Completely, completely dopey.
Sort of how, like, we feel when we do this show.
I felt dopey, but then my friend Matt.
Is this effing Matt, by the way?
What's that? No, this is a different Matt. I collect Matt friends like stamps. It's kind of weird. So
that's a whole nother
show. You collect stamps?
I don't.
That's the weird part.
I collect Matts.
Okay.
So stamps, mats. So he raised the level of dorkiness, and he goes, "Well, I brought some balls with me," and he pulls out these four plastic balls: two white, one blue, one yellow. And he goes, "You know, if you want to manipulate the balls,
oh, come on,
is
this turning into some sort of spooky porno?"
It can.
Really gay.
So he set them on the table and he said, hey, you know, if you're there and you want to show us that you're there, you could, you know, move one of the balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kept saying, you know, the yellow one's the lightest. It'd probably be the easiest. I don't know if he's trying to say you're a weak ghost. Just move the lightest
yeah, yeah.
one. So nothing's happening. We're not hearing anything. We have these little recorders that are picking up stuff, but it's nothing that you can tell what it is. And so we're sitting there, and I said, hey, you know, we're friends. We're not trying to piss you off and have you do parlor tricks.
Yeah.
And then Matt says, and he's sitting in this chair over in the corner, he says, yeah, we're nice guys. And he crosses his legs, and as soon as he does that, my iPad falls and goes right into the garbage can below the thing.
Huh.
Now, you could argue it wasn't there, and it was just gradually falling.
Yeah.
But when you look back at the recorded thing, it just looks like it doesn't have like a tilt where it's like slowly falling, and then
it's just like somebody pushed it.
It's almost like someone just smacked it off the table. And so we're like, okay, that got our attention. And then
Apple protection plan, by the way?
It was fine.
Okay.
Just
making sure.
Yeah, I had
ghosts are very safe when they are potentially ruining
your... Right, they gently dropped
it. If it were an Android device, it'd probably smash the screen, but...
So
a phablet.
At another point,
you and your phablets.
Is that
between a phone and a tablet? It's like a large, like a 5-inch screen,
like the Samsung Note.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to derail.
That's okay. No,
got to work some of our tech content into the show.
Right. Keep everyone engaged. So there's another point too where we're talking and we're trying to get something to happen, and you know, like when you get goosebumps,
sure.
You can always feel the hair all over
your
arms.
I love those books.
Yeah, the books.
The books are good by R.L. Stein. But, you know, usually it's all over your arm. Mm-hmm. You feel the goose flesh raise. Well, I felt something like on my arm. It was just like in one like localized area.
Like someone might be touching you.
It actually felt like someone was brushing the hair on my arms, which I'm like,
you liked it.
Odd. I liked it a little bit. I'm not going to lie. So, anyway, long story short, nothing else really happened. We went to sleep. You know, kind of feeling a little defeated, but, you know, hey, we saw an iPad.
I mean, were you scared at this point, or was it it didn't trigger a fright response?
I don't get scared at a lot of stuff. But what kind of got
my attention... When you barehand fight fires, I mean, ghosts are just...
Yeah. Yeah. Right, you know.
Burning flesh,
you get,
not...
Carrying
that's
three or
scary.
Four children under each arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Bursting through flaming walls.
Right. Yeah. Forgetting to wear your air mask, whatever, but... So we went to sleep, and then, you know, because of the time difference, I ended up getting up early,
mm-hmm.
and it was like 5 in the morning. I'm like, I'm wide awake. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I, you know, walked into the other room where we had the balls were still, you know, we'd left them there
the
night before. And so I took my phone. I'm just like laying there, you know, shit canning emails and stuff like that, and just whatever, doing some stupid stuff for maybe half hour, 45 minutes. And I sat up and I looked on the table, and 3 of the balls were there. The yellow one was gone.
Really?
And part of me is like going, okay, Matt woke up in the middle of the night and is totally screwing
with
me.
Totally giving you.
You know, and I even put, you know, I got so excited on Facebook. Oh, my gosh, you know, because we were kind of giving updates.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the balls has been moved. And I looked, and the ball was underneath his chair. And and the thing that's weird about it, okay, so I'm trying to already debunk
it. You're processing this in your brain.
Right. So the balls are really closely packed together. Mm-hmm. Okay, so like they were all touching each other.
Yeah.
So like if you moved one.
Without a context.
I'm not even trying.
Isolate all of this.
I'm lobbing these up. Yeah. That'll be great. So, you know, and the way that the balls were positioned. way the spheres were positioned, if it rolled forward, it didn't make sense that it would roll and then come back. It would have to almost go out of its way to get underneath Matt's chair.
All right.
Makes sense. There was a ceiling fan on, and the ball sitting underneath his chair was kind of like moving back and forth. I think it was just because of the wind or mm-hmm. whatever inside the room.
Did it sound a bit like this? Or?
Oh, my God. Where you guys were there.
I got a field recording.
Okay. It's better than mine. And so Matt must have gotten up immediately, looked at his phone as soon as he woke up, saw my thing, and as soon as he walked in the room, he's like, I didn't touch those balls, those spheres. I did not touch those spheres. So we had that going for us, and we were a little freaked out, but at the same time, you know, we don't have anything recording at night or anything like that, so we don't have any idea.
And I suppose the question that I would ask myself, and Adam would do the same thing, would be why do ghosts need to be so secretive or subtle? Why couldn't they have a grand gesture of we are here, you know?
Right.
Why does it have to be a ball moving an inch?
If I were a ghost, I would, and I could interact, I would like put my schlong like on a window, right? So then it like the outline of that remains. Like, why don't they ever do that?
Because it'd be, you'd barely, no, it'd be barely noticeable. Oh, that's the problem.
Wow.
As a ghost, you lose all girth. You're saying, right? Okay.
Yeah. Are you a ghost then? Is that what we're talking about?
It is cold.
Shit.
And it is cold. Yeah. Well,
very cold.
The afterlife is very cold.
It's very cold in the spectral.
It's always
plane,
very moist, too. It's like you're in cold water all the time.
Can I ask a technical question?
Sure.
Why infrared and stuff like that? Like, what's the,
where does
what's
that come
the idea
from?
Behind that?
The and this is this to me, this seems a little weird, too, is that they only come out at night. You know what I mean? Or, like, at least when we do investigations with the TCPS, if I may be so bold. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they'll think of that.
They don't mind. That's what they call it. So it's always at night because for some reason that's when
Some dude somewhere sometimes said they're most active.
I guess. You know what I mean? And that kind of bugs me a little bit. Yeah. You know, because I would think if you're taking pictures and stuff, you'd want some lights. You know, and you'd want something to happen. But I guess that is when they're most active. I mean, like this investigation we went on a couple months back, it was always at night that stuff was happening to these people. But yeah, I don't know. It's the infrared stuff is just, you know, we have all the lights off and stuff and you know, you can just see if there's any kind
of
shadows.
So are you essentially just sitting in the dark? I mean, for the most part?
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird because I went on my very first one a couple months ago and, you do like a 10 minutes of silence. You just sit in the dark with your recorders on, your digital recorders and just sit there and just see, kind of get a vibe for the
I'm guessing people don't eat a lot of burritos before these things. Is that 10 minutes of silence post burrito is pretty tough.
And that's funny because that's one of the things, too, that you find out is that when people's stomachs gurgle, a lot of times the recorders will pick that up and it sounds like a voice.
Sure.
And so you have to actually, while you're sitting there, go, oh, that was my stomach. Oh, that was me. Oh, a little gas. You know what I mean? Or whatever. And
you got to call it out.
You kind of do, yeah.
You ever hear a ghost go, oh, that was me?
Not yet. But it's early in the game. So.
Huh. So,
I just figured they want to play along.
So that was Hotel 1.
That was Hotel 1. That was the Armstrong.
Okay.
In Fort Collins. The second one was the Stanley in Estes Park, the one where they based The Shining off of, where Stephen King was inspired.
And, and people have to realize that you bought plane tickets. This was... This is like a vacation. I mean, in a sense, you are doing a ghost hunting vacation. Do a lot of people in the TCPS do the same thing where... We got a week off, so we're just going to go find some ghost places.
Not that I know of. I haven't, you know, they were all.
So you're
excited.
Already overdue. You're already outshining them.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah. I'm trying to fit in.
You're going to move up to the top.
Is there a leadership structure in the TCPS?
There is. Yeah, there's.
You
like
can move up the ranks if you're a go getter.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's more like a seniority thing.
The longer you've been,
right,
the more ghosts you can document, you're up higher.
Right.
Gotcha. Anyway, so second hotel it's in Colorado, correct?
Yep. Estes Park, Colorado. It's the Stanley. It's this gigantic, huge, beautiful, old place. It's got just a ton of history to it. And
now, was that just for the exterior of The Shining? Was that...
Stephen King actually stayed there.
Okay.
And when he was there, he kind of had this idea for The Shining.
Which it inspired the novel.
It did, yeah. Right. The actual hotel where they shot it at wasn't
completely different,
one. Right. And so when he did his miniseries, the TV one, he actually went back to the Stanley.
And that's people need to know it's not as like vast. I mean, like the miniseries, like the hallways were a little narrower.
Right.
And it doesn't even feel so cold as the movie.
No.
That it's, you know, more wall to wall carpet, that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yep. So one of the things that they have there, too, of course, is you can go on a guided ghost tour.
They are going to monetize this.
Right. Well, clearly, yeah. So I called and I had set up a tour for Matt and I to go on. We got there and they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to give you the historical tour of the Stanley. I said, well, is this not the ghost tour? And they're like, no, that's full. And we're just like, oh, you got to be kidding
me. God damn it.
You sons of bitches. So we...
Look at these lovely plantation-style doors.
Right.
That we have.
I mean, that's really what we were in for. And we had this guy with just these disgusting eyebrows who just would not budge. And this other girl says, you know what? I'll give you guys the ghost tour. We'll do it during the day, though.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, cool. That's fine with me. I don't, you know, we don't really care because we're going to do our own stuff at night. And so she took just...
You guys going to play with some balls at night?
I saw that coming. A mile away. Yeah.
For this trip, they brought a sack of balls.
Right. Wow. Two sacks.
Two sacks with two balls in?
Two each. So
special sacks.
So they, I don't know.
okay, daytime.
You're the
ghost
one that brings the ball.
Daytime ghost.
I'm going to start using the word spheres from now on. Can we go ahead and
orbs? Can we say orbs?
Sure. Why
well,
not?
Well, yeah. So she walks us through these different areas, and then she's telling us about these different. I mean, there's like supposed to be a ton of ghosts in there. There's there's maids. There's things like that. There's this thing where they say if you run down the hallway on a certain floor, you can actually feel something tugging at you to slow you down.
Hmm.
Because I guess when the little kids were there, the parents would just leave these kids with these like nannies,
sure,
all summer long, and so they never really see the kids. And these poor nannies had to watch these little brats. And I tried that too. I just booked down a hallway and didn't feel anything, but. Long story short, we went into a room where supposedly this woman was squatting. So there's just different time periods where stuff happened. And the Stanley Hotel was kind of – it was closed. It was not making any money, things like that. And so they had boarded up some of the areas, and people were breaking in and stealing stuff from the place. So this one woman named Lucy kept sneaking in and, like, living there. She's a runaway. And they kept finding her. They'd kick her out. They'd figure out, you know – like, stay out of here, you know, this is private property, yada, yada, yada. They actually ended up throwing her out, like, three times, and they figured out how she was getting in. They boarded it up, and they think that she froze to death outside.
Oh.
And so we're in this room that supposedly she kind of squatted in, and as we're talking, this woman's giving us this, you know, this whole story about this Lucy woman, and Matt's recording it on his phone, and as she's talking, all of a sudden the door just to the immediate right of me just closes. And the woman without a hitch goes, "Oh, hi, Luce." You know, just kept going. There's that part of me that thinks, okay, she walked in. The door is kind of set in a way that it's gradually closing. She gets to a certain spot and it closes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of the doubting Thomas when it comes to that. But then we went into another room and talked about this guy who you can always smell like cigarette smoke because apparently he was just like a worker there and he walked around a lot. Smoked like a chimney. And as we walked back out of his room and headed back towards the stairs to get back outside, Lucy's door closed again right as we walked by. So at the Stanley, that was like...
Does that give you chills? Or does it you just...
It did a little
bit. Something you have to think about.
It did a little bit, you know. But, you know, long story short... There's a part of me that thinks, you know,
yeah.
I mean, if they go on these ghost tours and nothing happens, they're not going to get people to go on these ghost tours. So the one thing that we did find later in the evening, which was totally amateur hour, was we were up in the room, had all the lights off, had our you know, our phones and stuff and our iPads and stuff recording things, and we just weren't getting anything. And so I turned on the light on the back of my phone and was holding that up, hoping I could see something. And we started seeing, like, little things zipping by, you know, the camera and... You know, orbs and stuff were rising up out of the floor, and there was a part where we're talking, and all of a sudden I just see this blue orb kind of rise up before the camera, and I go, "Holy fuck, Matt!" You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, sorry,
were you clothed at this time?
This time I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The bareback one was later. So we freaked out, and all of a sudden we realized what it was. It was just dust. Every time we were walking around, we were kicking up all this dust.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
lights catching it, and it looked cool. But
so you're saying right now orbs are dust.
Orbs
period.
Are dust. Pretty much dust. They're lit up dust or insects or something.
What is the Twin Cities Paranormal Society? Do they buy into that, or do they feel like orbs are...
Orbs are garbage.
Okay, so orbs is just a bunch
of...
You
can just dismiss it.
BS.
Yep.
Anytime you see an orb on like... the Sci-Fi Channel on one of those stupid-ass shows.
Nope.
Fake.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, and there were a few I saw that, you know, would move this way, and all of a sudden it would zigzag, and you're like, oh, my God, look at that. It's you know, doing some kind of tricks. But no, it's all fake.
Hmm. Interesting. So you spent one night there.
Yep.
And then you went on to hotel number three.
Hotel number three was...
This is the big one. I cannot wait for this.
The name of it? This is going to be a field day for jokes.
Everyone be quiet.
It's called the Brown Palace. Yeah.
Brown Palace.
And absolutely nothing happened there.
Oh.
Did you get a ghost tour?
I'm just taking off my headphones now.
Yeah, get out of here.
Is it known for? It's another
it
one
is.
Where it's... Okay.
Yeah.
Just because of the name alone? It's known?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what... We never really got any history on what the deal was with that place, but... it was creepy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked creepy and old.
As an old hotel might.
Yeah. You know, and we spent a lot of time doing like another EVP session because by now we were pros. We knew that
orbs
didn't mean anything.
The balls will roll. Sometimes they don't. Doors will shut.
We put candies on the floor thinking a candy.
Like E.T. might show up perhaps. Right. You could lure him into the closet.
Right. We were open for anything at that point. Well, not anything, but you get me.
I think anything. I get you. Why are you winking at me, by the way?
Is that your hand?
I'm a little, you know, I don't know what the term Jared used with me, slappy. I'm a little slappy.
A little slappy.
A little slap happy.
You are a little slappy.
So, yeah, it's the Brown Palace.
So do you bring these findings back to the Twin Cities Paranormal Society?
No, we did.
You do a presentation, or how does that work?
We didn't. No, we just, I mean, it was just for us, you know, just for laughs and just to get away for a little while. And so, I mean, it was fun. We went on some hikes and things like that. But, you know, they weren't really looking for a report. It's not like we had a client to report out to and stuff. You know, some of the other folks on the team had asked, you know, hey, how was the Stanley? I'm like, you know, it was all right. You know, but overall, yeah, they weren't looking for any.
What does your wife and kids think of this?
My kids think it's cool.
Yeah.
My wife thinks it's kind of
folly.
A little bit. Yeah. You know.
She doesn't buy into this.
She's scared of stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? And she would never want to do any of this kind of thing. But
have you told her it's either this or bum fights? So this is better.
Well, that's next year. Okay. I'm gonna open that chapter.
My newest interest is punching out
Twin Cities bum fighting society.
I want to have a full resume. I really do.
Oh, you mean the TCBF?
Yeah.
Right. Twin Cities Bum. Yeah.
We'll go get you an interview.
God, that's great.
Full resume. Looks good on the college application.
Right, yeah. And volunteer work. Yeah. What do you do for volunteer work? I punch bums in the throat. Yeah. That's great.
They have it coming.
They do. Those misspelled signs. Anyway, but yeah, so, and then whatever it was, like a month later, I got to go on my first official TCPS.
All right, so talk us through this. How do they?
Hey, Scope Faithful. That is the end of part one of our interview with Thomas and his ghost hunting adventures. Make sure you stick around for part two in episode 148. He gets into all the fun details of his first adventures with the Twin Cities Paranormal Society. All that in episode 148. But more of the show is back after this break.
Three geeks on the internet. WSCP.
Under the scope. Hey everybody, we are back with Under the Scope. This is the time where Adam gets to shine and tell us all about the fantastic, the fantastic coming soon. Jared,
what are you just looking at me for?
As a quick side note,
yeah,
you get to do the pick it or stick it or whatever.
Pick it or stick it. Yes, hit it or miss it.
All right, so we'll just let it ride. Okay. We'll let it ride.
What's going on?
All right, Adam.
Just get ready to interrupt me at some point here, Jared.
Yeah. All right. What?
Mine is a movie, and you can probably guess which one it is.
Okay, I know exactly what
it is. All right, good. It's exciting. So what's coming up, Adam?
Music. We've got some new music coming up. You know, my favorite thing when you send me the coming soon list is sometimes I don't know where the band name ends and the album starts. So I started, like, actually putting a hyphen in, and then I realized it'd be way funnier if I didn't. So Blue October has a new album coming out. Who's that?
A band.
All right. Earl has a new album coming out called Sweatshirt Doris, so that's pretty exciting. See, his name's Earl Sweatshirt.
Yeah, Earl Sweatshirt. Have you heard of Earl Sweatshirt, Thomas?
Never. No.
It's Earl's band.
Okay.
Is it really Earl? Like,
no, it doesn't.
No, okay. It should be, though. Earl should have a cover band of Earl Sweatshirt, and it's just called Earl.
Shorten it.
All right. Jimmy Buffett has a new album coming out.
This one we all are excited about.
Oh, boy.
So here you go, Jared. This is your hit it for the week, I assume.
Double cheeseburger in paradise.
Are we into film already?
No. Yeah. The Jimmy Buffett album.
Jared not paying any attention. Where is he?
I was confused.
John Mayer has an album. Lee Dwise,
American Idol winner, I believe.
Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah.
Stereophonics, Superchunk.
I'm looking forward to the Stereophonics album. Okay, I like them.
And Travis has a new album coming out, too. Remember Travis?
Yeah.
Remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Late 90s.
I quite like them.
My Scope music critic, Al, and I had a long conversation about them up at our Up North adventure. We think that was a band that had the possibility of being as big as Coldplay, but they just couldn't turn out the music that people were really interested in.
They had some great songs.
They did, but I think that they had their... Like 3 and 4 albums were not very good.
I think if the lead singer of Travis had married Gwyneth Paltrow, that would have turned everything around.
Doesn't hurt.
That's all it takes.
Doesn't hurt.
Movies. We've got this one I've never heard of, The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. Do you know what
that is? It's based off some young adult series, I think.
Yes. Huh. Thomas, you know about that being in the field of writing?
I've heard of it. I haven't really read it.
Boy.
I know.
You're not really paying attention to your peers, your contemporaries.
I try not to.
Mm.
The only books I read are young adult novels still, and the AV Club has a really good feature called YA Now or something like that, where they review
Young Adult Now, is that what that's
sure.
for?
Where they just review like a young adult novel that they're really liking at the time. And so anyway, everyone should read that, I guess. I don't know.
where are we going with this?
I don't know. Let's see, Jared, I think that this next one might be a movie up your alley.
Yeah, but Shane usually sets it up.
Damn it.
What
just
am
get
I supposed
to get through the rest of your list, and then Shane will do the hit it or miss it.
I'm going to write down hit it or miss it, because I don't want to call pick it or stick it.
I was like pick it or stick it.
So another movie that I don't know what it is you're next. You know what that is?
It's another horror movie, I think.
That's another one we've gotten like 14 different. Huh. It's about a thuggish group of kids that wear creepy animal masks, and then they're tormenting people.
It's supposed to be good.
They've been doing like weird viral things like across cities where people in these animal masks are showing up on the streets.
DVD and Blu-ray, we've got Amore, Boardwalk Empire Season 3, Epic.
Saw that movie.
Was that good? That was
That's
the,
already coming out? Wow.
Yeah, it was okay. My kid liked it, but I felt the shoehorning of celebrities in this one as voices was not as subtle as what you might see with a Pixar. And case in point, the queen of the Epic people was Beyonce. And it just felt very out of place, Thomas. Thomas.
Scary Movie 5, for some reason. Those must make money.
They cost like $10 to make.
Yeah. And if I got to pick one, it would be this. Don't Stop Believin', Every Man's Journey. What was that?
That is a documentary about the band Journey and how they replaced Steve Perry with a Filipino kid.
Yeah,
and it's his story, which is pretty fascinating, actually.
I heard that he doesn't want anything to do with that anymore. And I don't know if that's true or not, that he got to a certain point that they were like, no, you have to. You sound like Steve Perry. And
I heard initially he was that way because he came from... squalor,
right?
And you know, he was very family oriented in the Philippines, and he just didn't know how to deal with that fame and success. And you know, Journey is not a studio album band anymore; they are a touring band. That's how they make their money.
Sure.
So I think that over time he's sort of gotten used to it. But you know, maybe it's indentured servitude. I don't know. Maybe he's locked in. You know, for pennies on the dollar.
They fed him enough cocaine where he's okay with it now.
But I don't know if you guys heard him sing, but he sounds exactly like Steve Perry. Yeah. He probably sounds better than Steve Perry. You know, he's like the idealized version of Steve Perry.
Right.
It's amazing.
Younger, better, stronger, faster.
And while the summer has basically been a season of no video games, every game coming out this week has something for someone out there. So Saints Row 4 comes out.
Love Saints Row 3.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yes. Saints Row 4 has already been released to all like the review people. Yeah.
You can see them playing on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like on.
I think it's going to be another good game. Let's see.
Will you buy that or will you wait till it's on sale?
That one I'll buy.
All right.
I'm really only going to buy two more games this year.
What are they?
Until the new consoles come out. That and GTA 5.
What do you think about the deal that GameStop is running?
You mean the thing that we talked about in the news last episode?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I totally forgot we talked about it last episode.
It was a week ago, guys.
Yeah, that's right. Last episode. Let's see. There's a new Splinter Cell coming out, Blacklist. There's another XCOM game. This is a third-person shooter, which is all the things I've seen for it so far look pretty fun. And Disney Infinity, which is Disney's kind of toy box version of Skylanders.
I'm a borderline on that. I think my kid might really like that game.
Yeah.
Meaning, I might really like
it. And you know who will really like that you like that game? Disney.
Yes.
Because as soon as the Star Wars figures start coming out for that, that'll be crazy.
Great.
And then they're coming out with Flashback, which was a Super Nintendo game.
And a Genesis game.
And
an Amiga game.
probably everything game. So they
It's a Nintendo ass licker over there. Jeez Louise.
Nintendo
what?
Ass licker.
Jeez.
Wow.
Anyway, did it for the consoles, and that comes out that week, too.
Let's ask Thomas a quick question. Yeah. Will you be involved in the next generation of video game systems? Go.
Yes.
What system?
Eventually both.
First?
Probably the PS4.
You're a jerk.
Listen.
Why are you not sticking with the
Wait, first
Xbox
I want to point out that both now does not include the Wii U anymore.
It's gone. Forget it.
It's dead.
I enjoy the Wii U. I'll be honest with you.
Adam and I are getting the Xbox One, and if you want to be cool.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you are. You've got them both pre-ordered.
You got rid of your PS3, didn't you?
No, I still have it.
Did you get Last of Us?
I have it, but I haven't played it yet.
I
know that I'm in for a dark, tormented time when I get to it, so I'm mentally preparing myself.
Play it with your family.
By playing a lot of Call of Duty and then bringing Audrey right next to me. My 8-year-old daughter. Say, watch while I play. This could be your life if the world keeps going the way it does.
That makes sense. Yeah, you should do
Obama.
That.
Obama. Right?
It's Obama.
Yeah.
And that's coming soon.
What's next, Shane?
Is next?
It's our new segment where we
lick it or stick it, Jared. What are you licking? And if it's Adam, it's probably a Nintendo system.
My pick for this week for you guys to check out, it is the new film from director Edgar Wright starring Nick Frost and Simon Pegg and a gaggle of other UK people. It's The World's End. It is the third part of the Cornetto trilogy, Shane. You know why it's called the Cornetto trilogy?
Because there's three movies.
Yes, there are three movies. First one, Shaun of the Dead. Second one, Hot Fuzz. Now we have The World's End. And each one of them, they get a Cornetto, which is a famous ice cream brand in the UK.
Oh, I thought it was like the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No.
I don't know.
Quick synopsis. This is five friends who reunite in an attempt to top their epic pub crawl from 20 years earlier, unwittingly become humankind's only hope for survival. In theaters, right around the time this episode comes out.
And Thomas loves this because among his firefighting and his book writing and his ghost hunting, he also does a mega pub crawl, doesn't he?
We do, yep.
When do you have time to live a normal life?
I just parcel it out a little bit. Scheduling.
It's a scheduler, Jared. You write it in the notebook.
Pencil it down.
Do you make lists?
I make a few lists.
Make lists? All right.
Got a little online calendar.
Are you one of those life hacking type people?
No.
Zero inbox.
I have a few in the inbox.
Right.
You write things down on the list? I'm not sure what that's. I'm totally missing something.
Perfect.
Under the scope.
All right, Jared.
Yeah.
The scope pushes on, and I'm sure we've got loads and loads of listener comments. So please enlighten us.
We do have a couple of comments episode. This will be on episode 144, which is our Luke Ski Con episode.
Mm-hmm.
John Norton writes, he says, I'm confused about something.
Yes.
After listening to the show for 5+ years, I always assumed that this Luke Ski character was just a personal friend of yours. But after listening to this last episode and researching his Kickstarter, I wanted to ask, is he someone fairly famous in the comedy rock scene?
Fairly.
He was mentioned on the AV Club.
He was mentioned on the AV
was he?
Club.
Yeah.
What context?
He was on a the album where they were covering Weird Al songs.
Oh, okay.
And
the Weird Al tribute album.
Yes.
My voice appears on there briefly as well.
There you go. Yeah, so
I was not mentioned by
name. No, I was part of an ensemble cast that did a song, so I was... No need to mention
Luke Ski was mentioned by name as appearing on that album.
Luke Ski has been doing comedy music for 15 years. I don't know, since the mid-90s. I guess that's longer than 15 years. He's had a number of big hits on the Dr. Demento show, and he does science fiction and fantasy conventions throughout the country. So I guess, it's relative, but... in the crowds that he travels, he is fairly famous.
In a segment of people,
yeah,
you might have heard of him.
He's probably not, you wouldn't consider him nationally prominent, but he's definitely, he does his thing, and he makes a living at it.
I mean, to be fair, if you were to ask the average Joe, name a famous parody song person, you'd get Weird Al, and that would
pretty
be
much.
It. So,
yeah.
You have to go a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah,
but
he's not a Tenacious D. He's not a Flight of the Conchords. Yeah. He's not a whoever else is, famous for comedy music at the time. But he's a good mid-level guy.
He's a mid-level guy.
And yes, he is a friend of ours. I've known him since early 2000s. So.
Now, when you said he's a friend of mine, why did you do air quotes with that friend?
I just generally air quote everything. Just as sort of, I want to keep myself legally ambiguous.
Fair enough.
Because he may not consider you a friend.
Thank you for clearing that up for us, Thomas.
And one more comment we have. Wildcard says, I loved hearing the trivia challenge again from Luke Ski Con. Ingenious questions!
You're welcome.
Shane gets all the credit for that.
But your presentation was great,
Jared. Thank you. Hopefully this is a video. Hopefully there's a video available, Luke's reactions to some of the questions being asked. I don't know. I know Luke was recording video. I'm not sure if anyone else was, and I'm not sure if Luke was planning on releasing any of that video, but I would like to see it. Because I couldn't really see Luke's reaction because I was sort of,
buried behind a podium.
We were three across and I was sort of, concentrating on my part of it so I could, I couldn't really see everything. But I would like to see the whole performance from the audience.
I have to say again that Luke, with some of the outrageously difficult questions we asked him, he got a lot more than I thought he would. So
absolutely. I was sweating it. I thought we had set him up for an easy loss.
Failure.
And ended up being 5-4.
Yeah, it was close. So good on you, Luke. Good
indeed,
on you.
Indeed. Well, that's it for the comments.
So what's next, Jared?
If you want to have comment on this episode, this is 147, you can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can also comment on Twitter, on Facebook. You can call our voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. And if you'd like to financially support the show, you can no longer do it through Amazon.
Jerks.
Idiots. But we do have a donation link on our website at thescopeshow.com. If you'd like to click that, throw a couple bucks our way, or subscribe for a low, low monthly fee of like $1 or $2, go ahead and do that. It helps us out, keeps the show free for you.
Side note, Thomas talked to me offline and said he wants to become a sustaining member of the Scope. $100 a year, he's pledged. Thank you, Thomas.
Good job.
Happy to do it.
Wow. And
our first sustaining member.
We'll have to whip up a tote bag or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Great tote bag. Great tote bag. I'll put some balls in there. A big yellow ball.
Oh, put your balls in there. Yeah.
Light. It's lighter.
That's it for me.
They're lighter.
Well, that was great. I actually want to put out a challenge, Jared. I'll do this in the next show as well. Any of our listeners out there have any spooky stories of their own? Feel free to share it with us.
What's the best way to share them, Shane?
They can go send it on the voicemail.
Call a voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE.
They can send an email.
Could do that. There is that. You know what? I've added this a long time ago on the website. But
Instagram?
I just added a link on the comment form that goes off to a site that will let you record an audio comment. And then you get a link, and then you can just attach that to your comment on the website, and so then you have an audio thing. So if you don't want to call, and you don't have any fancy audio setup, you can, as long as you have a microphone on your computer, which most people do these days, you can just go click that record a comment thing. It'll record it. It'll give you a link. Paste that link in your comment.
Boom.
Audio. So, yeah, that'd probably be a great thing for people to try for their spooky stories.
Very, very exciting. I think we might be able to send some work your way, Thomas, if we get some we get some hits here in the local Twin Cities area. We'll send you out.
That'd be great.
But most of our listeners are mentally unstable, so it's probably just a Travis Shen mockery anyway.
That's fine.
Indeed.
Adam, any closing comments?
No.
Thomas.
Happy 10th anniversary of the OC.
I could not agree with you more.
The TV show?
Yeah. The TV show.
10th anniversary.
10 years ago, very recently, was the first episode of the OC. And Adam, that was one of the interesting things. Adam loved the OC, which is very strange because he hates everything. And I have a bigger respect for
it. The Washington Post had an article that I wanted to bring up for last week's thing, where they called the OC the definitive show about the 2000s economy.
There you go.
I thought maybe you were kidding, but no, you really like the OC. Okay.
Chew on that.
Sandy Cohen is the dad everyone wanted to have.
Even
if you had a good dad.
I enjoy the incredulogy.
Fuck it.
Thomas, thank you for this part of the interview.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We will definitely play the second part of the interview in the next show. So, everybody, get ready for it. I'm choking.
Choking on the air.
So, let's wrap this up. Thomas, thanks for being here. Jared, thanks for doing your work. Adam,
thanks.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Right on the Scope.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Auf Wiedersehen. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.